Welcome to this edition of the God is Your Life broadcast. This is Reverend Mark Slay inviting you to join me for the next few minutes as we get into the Word of God. Deuteronomy 30:20 tells us to love the Lord your God, obey His voice, and to hold tight to Him, for this is your life. I'll be back in a few minutes, but for now, let's listen as I teach from the Word. When they're drinking and hooping and hollering and drugging, that they're wallowing pigs in the mud. If you try to go tell them they're pigs in the mud, that there's a cleaner way to live, that God will bring you up higher, they don't believe it. They don't know about it. They have no frame of reference to compare it to because that's all they've ever known. Nobody ever told them that that's not the way to live because everywhere they look, their buddies are living that way. How many of you were like me? You grew up and everywhere you looked, everybody, people were doing stuff that was wrong and you thought that was normal. That's correct. It's a rhetorical question. Please don't raise your hand. We don't want to know who you are. You look around and you think everybody does this. Isn't this the way it's supposed to be? But then God gets a hold of you and you come and you see, you mean there's actually people that don't live that way? Yeah, that's correct. The scriptures are full of people that didn't live that way. Now notice that you could go back altogether if you want to, but you don't have to. Acts, the 12th chapter, there's an example of scripture here, and I think it's important that I do. I'm going to take an extra couple of minutes here just to go over this part, because I think there's a person here in scripture that you should look at carefully their life and see, because Satan will try to deceive you, and he'll try to get you to give up. You know, one of the things that will happen to you after you do make a mistake is Satan will say this to you. He'll say, well, you've gone too far. You might as well just go all the way and go out with a bang of glory. I mean, just go out with a blaze, born to raise hell. Just go on. You've gone too far. There's no hope for you. So just go on and just go all the way, be a sinner and go to hell. He'll tell you that because he knows all he has to do is talk you into it and he's got you bagged. Anything Satan can talk you into, he gets. Acts chapter 12 is an account of a guy named John Mark. That's the same person. He was called John, but he's also called Mark. Around my house, that would have been a little confusing. But John Mark was a person that started out right. Look in the Acts, the 12th chapter and 12th verse. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who is also called Mark. I wish they'd make up their mind. It'd make life a whole lot easier. Is he John or is he Mark? Who's also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Now this is when Peter was let out of prison. An angel came and got Peter out of prison because the church was praying for him. And an angel appeared to him and walked him right out of prison. And he comes to this house and he's describing the house that they went to. And they even, the scripture stops long enough to mention John Mark. Well, John Mark started out good. You can see he's there in the same room where Peter is being coming after he's released from prison. But in Acts 15, something happened to John Mark. In fact, it wasn't good. Now here's an example of somebody who started out right and goofed up. And let's investigate his life. I think you'll get blessed by it as I was. Verse 37 of Acts 15. Barnabas, they're going around to the churches to look at all the churches that they've apostleshipped here. Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journey. But Paul kept insisting they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them in the work. Now notice that. John Mark deserted them in Pamphylia when they were already out there in the field. Now this is the same guy that was in, saw Peter get led out of prison by an angel. He was in the house when Peter was locked up and John Mark knew it and they're all praying for him to be released. And here comes Peter knocking on the door saying, an angel walked me out of that prison. And it was as if the prisoners were blinded. They couldn't even see it. I just walked right by him. And he knocks on the door and John Mark's in that room praying and he saw that and heard that bizarre testimony. Well, now John Mark gets out on the field and Satan turns the screws down on him and he backs away. Let me just stop long enough to say, as I've said many times, if you decide you're going to help this ministry, or really any ministry that's doing anything for God at all, you're going to get the screws turned down on you. And if you're weak, then you'll fold. don't fold. So notice, Paul kept insisting they're not going to take the one that deserted them in Pamphylia. Verse 39, and there occurred such a sharp disagreement, that is between Paul and Barnabas, that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. Now notice, Paul here says, we're not taking him. We're not taking him. He's not committed. He's not faithful. We are not using him. And there's the word there in the Greek where it says a sharp disagreement, it means that there was friction. It means that something was being stirred or agitated. The same word is used in another place where the crowds were stirred up with anger towards Paul and Barnabas, the unsaved. There was an agitation here, and it was a sharp disagreement. Paul was standing his ground and said, I'm not taking him. He's not faithful. He's not committed yet. He hasn't made up his mind. He really wants to do this right. Well, I won't leave you hanging there with poor John Mark. What's the end of the story? Well, let me tell you what's the end of the story. Go to 2 Timothy. There's a happy ending to this story. John Mark didn't crumble. He didn't fold. When Paul said, you're not going, he didn't crumble. He kept at it. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. I'm going to start with the 9th verse. Well, let's start with the 7th verse. I think that might be some background reading for you. Paul's writing to Timothy. He's closing out his life, actually, here. He's writing a letter to Timothy. He's at the end of his ministry. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Now, notice the Apostle Paul said, I fought the good fight. I fought the good fight. There's a fight. Well, Pastor Mark, I just don't do well with conflict. Well, you better go find another place, because the kingdom of God is full of conflict. I can't take that pressure. Okay. It's not you that'll have to do the work. The Holy Spirit in you will do the work, but just don't give up on it. Fight the good fight of faith. Now notice what he said after that. I have kept the faith. Now notice those words. Now that you might just glance over that verse, but to me that verse says an awful lot. That means he's got something he's proud of. That means there must have been hell and high water thrown at him, and he's saying, I kept it. I kept it. In the future now, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, is going to award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also all who have loved his coming or his appearing. And he is coming. Make every effort, Timothy, to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Uh-oh, another one that folds. Hey, I've seen it. Folks, I know, Pastor Robin will tell you that this preacher has made up his mind that if nobody else goes with me, I'm going. But I'm hoping I can get some people that'll help me and that'll get in here in the trenches with me and be ready for anything, because anything and everything will come. Well, he said he deserted us and he's gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus is to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me now. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for service. What a happy ending. Here's a guy that could have been shipwrecked because he made a stupid mistake. He deserted the work. He didn't commit himself. He didn't consecrate himself. But Paul later, towards the end of his ministry, says, the one that I was not going to use under any conditions, I'm going to use him now. Can you see it? Can you see there's a process? Can you see that there is growth? That though you could have failed miserably in your life and just got off the bus, you don't have to totally get off the bus, like Peter said, go back into the world and are overcome by the devil? That means completely swallowed up by him. John Mark faced some problems. He faced some challenges, and Paul said, no, sorry, not going to. But then later in his life, Paul saw that he had grown, and now he could be used the right way. And the truth of the matter is, in Timothy, Paul said something else. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 says, nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those that are his. And everybody who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now look at, he goes now, he's not talking all of a sudden changing his concept. Listen, now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, some to honor, some to dishonor. Therefore, if anybody cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now notice that. In a large house, there's good vessels, gold and silver. Did you know that he gives you examples of good vessels and some not so good? The ones that were silver and gold were the precious ones. The ones that were wood and earthenware or clay, they weren't so good. That's why he said some to honor, gold and silver, some to dishonor, earthenware and clay, cheap. He says, if anybody will cleanse himself. Now notice who's doing the cleansing. I'm not talking about your initial conversion. Only God himself can cleanse you there. But I'm talking about walking out the daily conditional changes in your outward to where you don't fly off the handle, to where you don't get impatient with people, to where you do these other things. Only you are going to be able to do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. Don't get the order reversed. The Holy Spirit doesn't do it. He cleanses you initially and forgives you. You can't do that on your own. But he only helps you grow in your condition with Christ. You have to make up your mind that you're going to be different. If any man cleanses himself from these things, you will be a vessel for honor. Well, that's what John Mark did, isn't it? You notice it is a process, though. Cleanses himself. You could be in the house, but yet you still got work to do on your condition. Hey, join the club. Paul said himself, I press on, forgetting what lies behind and pressing on to what lies ahead of me. Hallelujah. Don't get down on yourself because you're not there. John Mark wasn't there. He's being used in the ministry and he wasn't there. And he failed. He went back home. But then he got on top of himself and he said, I'm going to change. I'm going to become useful. I'm going to cleanse myself. I'm going to commit to the work and consecrate the work. And here Paul at the end of his ministry calls for John Mark, the very one that he said, I'm not going to have anything to do with. Amen. That's the Lord. He's a forgiving God. He'll help us and he'll use us as we consecrate ourselves. Bow your heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, thank you for the word of God. Gives us a light. You said the word is a light and a lamp unto our feet and to our path. There's no way to know the right path in life except through you, except through your word. Thank you for giving us a written copy to refer to anytime we want to. Thank you, Lord, for enlightening the spirits of the people, letting all of us know that growth is a process.
Just to trust His cleansing blood, just and simple faith.
I hope you enjoyed today's message. The title of the message is Christian Growth is a Process. If you'd like a copy, you can look us up on the web at mrcstl.org or marksslay.org. That's marksslay.org. Or you can call our office at 314-965-8488. 314-965-8488. Until next time, this is Reverend Mark Slay reminding you that God is your life.